Isaiah 51. Listen to me, you who follow after righteousness, you who seek Yahweh. Look to the rock you were cut from and to the hold of the pit you were dug from. Look to Abraham your father and to Sarah who bore you. For when he was but one, I called him and I blessed him and made him many. So, you who seek Yahweh, you who follow after righteousness, you're never going to be perfect in this life. You're never going to perfectly understand God nor live a perfect life. But Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, blessed are they who hunger and thirst after righteousness, those who want to be righteous. And that's you and me. We're not perfect. We want to be righteous. But we can't quite get there. This is what Paul says in Romans 7, that he wants to go the way of God after his inward man, but the flesh, unfortunately, serves sin. And so what he's saying then is that those who are God's people are characterized by seeking God, by looking for him, by wanting to be righteous. And then we will be, finally, when Jesus comes back. And so he says, look to Abraham and Sarah. Now, by baptism, we become the children of Abraham. And so Abraham, in that sense, becomes our example. And we're told that he was one when I called him, and I blessed him and made him many. And so he was called alone. I think that's the point. Although Lot went with him, that was not God's intention. God's call was to Abraham and to Sarah to leave where they were in Ur of the Chaldees. And it's the same with us. We are called alone. We're not baptized in a group, as it were, that everyone was doing it, like all the other young people or the whole group did it. Well, we may be baptized with other people at the same time, but that's incidental. The point is that we are called individually. For Yahweh has comforted Zion, that's Jerusalem, the Temple Mount. He has comforted all her waste places and has made her wilderness like Eden and her desert like the garden of Yahweh. Joy and gladness will be found therein, thanksgiving and the voice of melody. So, this is being spoken to the Jews who are in exile in Babylon, or Persia, and God is saying, look, I've already rebuilt Jerusalem, you go back and do it. And yet, when they did go back there, they found all sorts of problems. And no, it wasn't quite like that. But that's because they didn't want to believe these words. They did it all in their own strength. And so God says things as if they have already happened, because it is so sure that they will come true. Listen to me, my people, and give ear to me, my nation, for the law shall go forth from me, and I will establish my justice for a light of the peoples. My righteousness is near, my salvation has gone forth, and my arms shall judge the peoples. The islands will wait for me, and on my arm shall they trust. Lift up your eyes to the skies. Just been told about look to Abraham, be like Abraham. Well, he was told to look up and count the stars, and he was told that so will your seed or your descendants be. So, lift up your eyes to the skies and look on the land beneath, for the skies will vanish away like smoke, and the land will become old like a garment. And those who live in it will die in the same way, but my salvation will be eternal, and my righteousness will not be abolished. So, God's salvation is eternal. All the sort of salvations that people might offer you in this life to extend your life, if you exercise, if you do this, if you do that, take this tablet, these vitamins or whatever, well, you might live longer. If you don't get killed in a car crash or whatever. Well, yeah, so all those salvations are not very great. But God's salvation shall be eternal. Everlasting life, forever and ever and ever and ever and ever, a long, long line with no end. This is what God's offering us. Listen to me, you who know righteousness, the people in whose heart is my law. Don't fear the reproach of men, neither be dismayed at their insults. For the moth will eat them up like a garment, and the worm will eat them like wool. But my righteousness shall be forever, and my salvation to all generations. So if you've got this hope of the kingdom before you, this everlasting life that we know that by his grace we will have, well, so what people say to you? You can stand with your back to the world. So what if they insult you? So what if they call you names? So what if they cast you out of their family, their church, their society, whatever they might have? Well, we have got the hope of eternal life, and they will have to answer for their ways, but we have the hope of eternal life. Awake, awake, put on strength, arm of Yahweh, awake as in the days of old, the generations of ancient times. Isn't it you who cut Rahab in pieces, who pierced the monster? He's talking about destroying Pharaoh in the Red Sea. Isn't it you who dried up the sea, the Red Sea, the waters of the great deep, who made the depths of the sea a way for the redeemed to pass over? The ransomed of Yahweh shall return and come with singing to Zion. An everlasting joy shall be on their heads. They shall obtain gladness and joy. Sorrow and weeping will flee away. As it says at the end of Revelation, God will dry all the tears from off all faces, all those who are redeemed. And we will come to Zion. Now, of course, the exiles could have come with singing to Zion, but they didn't. They just went back to try to get their own bit of land, to make their own farms. They didn't get in the spirit of this at all. But we who have said yes to the gospel, we will come into the kingdom with everlasting joy on our heads. It won't just be, a happy experience that then sort of fades away. Everlasting joy. God is so encouraging. I am he who comforts you. Who are you that you're afraid of man who shall die, and of the Son of Man who shall be made as grass? Don't worry about people being against you when you've got this great hope in front of you. And you have forgotten Yahweh your Maker, who stretched forth the heavens and laid the foundations of the earth, and fear continually all the day because of the fury of the oppressor when he makes ready to destroy. But where is the fury of the oppressor? It's okay, they're getting beaten up by people, but so what? So what? We have got the hope of the kingdom. We will come with singing to Zion. The captive exile will speedily be freed, and he will not die and go down into the pit, neither will his bread fail. Well, of course, sadly, the exiles were freed by Cyrus, but they wanted to stay there. Most of them did. They didn't use that great salvation, but we are going to use it, aren't we? For I am Yahweh your God, who stirs up the sea so that its waves roar. Yahweh of armies is his name. I have put my words in your mouth and have covered you in the shadow of my hand, that I may plant the heavens and lay the foundations of the earth, and tell Zion, you are my people. Awake, awake, stand up, Jerusalem, that has drunk at the hand of Yahweh the cup of his wrath. You have drunken the bowl of the cup of staggering and drained it. There is none to guide her among all the sons whom she has brought forth. Neither is there any who takes her by the hand among all the sons whom she has brought up. These two things have happened to you. Who will bemoan you? Desolation and destruction and the famine and the sword. How shall I comfort you? Your sons have fainted. They lie at the head of all the streets as an antelope in a net. They are full of the wrath of Yahweh, the rebuke of your God. Therefore hear now this, you afflicted and drunken, but not with wine. Thus says your Lord Yahweh, and your God who pleads the cause of his people. Behold, I have taken out of your hand the cup of staggering, even the bowl of the cup of my wrath. You shall no more drink it again. And I will put it into the hand of those who afflict you, who have said to your soul, bow down that we may walk over you. And you have laid your back as the ground and as the street to those who walk over. So it's all going to be turned around. Those who have abused Israel, those who have abused God's people, are the ones who are going to suffer. And those who were bowed down and everybody walked over them are the ones who are going to be lifted up. That is the great hope that we have, that there will be an inversion of all things. So we who are the little ones, the small ones, the obscure ones in this life will be lifted up. And those who are so great and mighty and high and powerful and popular and whatever in this life will be brought down. This is typical of how God behaves.